brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Yes, it's sipping time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Just about the only thing on at 2 a.m.
Yeah. And the second best thing on at 3 a.m. So
you guys forget about all those streaming services, man. There's some good stuff on streaming.
But 4 a.m., we own 4 a.m.
Yes, for sure.
So we're still awake at 4 a.m., we're good.
Oh, yeah. At 4 a.m., we are the bomb, so. this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Brent.
I like the fireplace. What does that mean? More scotch?
Absolutely.
Oh,
always
damn it.
More scotch.
Damn it.
And Made Man Maury.
Good morning, Bob. I'm enjoying the smell of heather in the basement. It's masking beautifully that musty smell of dampness.
How did you hold her down?
Well,
okay. And good old boy, Justin.
Good morning, Bob. I guess haggis isn't just for breakfast anymore.
Haggis is an unappreciated meal, let me tell you, sir. It's good stuff. And good old boy, Harmeet.
Thanks for having me, Bob. I don't appreciate haggis.
Sissy. This is what I'm stuck with. I swear. It saddens me, but...
Well, I do appreciate the scotch, though. Thank you.
Well, there you go. Well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and any other beverage that you can drink. And here's the whiskeys we are going to be discussing today. Today we have the Cooper 10-Year-Old Highland Single Malt Scotch Whiskey. From Benriach, we have several. We have the Original 10 Single Malt Scotch Whiskey, the 12 Single Malt Scotch Whiskey, the 21 Yahoo Single Malt Scotch Whiskey, the Smoky 10 Single Malt Scotch Whiskey, the Smoky 12 Single Malt, and from Highland Park, we have the Highland Park Cask Strength Single Malt Scotch Whiskey.
Single Malt Scotch Whiskey seems to be a theme today.
Yeah, you got a problem with it?
Again, oh.
Ay.
There's not a hint of brown sugar here for Brent.
I mean, it's an all single malt show.
Woo!
I don't see why we have a problem with this. So, all right. So let's get to our tasting, and we're going to have Justin introduce our signature sounds.
Okay. One sip.
All right. Everybody try and figure out what this pathetic accent is, because he hasn't told us.
Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
It's a single one.
An Eskimo on woods.
Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Uzbekistan.
Definitely a single malt accent. A single malt accent. That's what I'm saying.
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Sorry, that was...
Boris Badenoff from the Bowwinkle Show. That's what it is. Boris Badenoff.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
You know, if I took him to Scotland and he disappeared on me, I'd probably find him on the side of a road with his throat slit for trying to talk like this. But
if you gave him enough experience or exposure, he might pick it up.
If he drank enough, he might pick it up.
That is definitely the problem. I have to keep drinking.
You ever hear a Scotsman when he's not been drinking?
Nope.
He sounds like us.
No. Five sips. Oh, my. I was unaware anything could be this weird. Good.
Unaware?
That was Fargo.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I was unaware this could be anywhere that good. Yeah.
Anywhere.
That's awesome. That's Fargo, North Dakota. Oh, dear God.
We're horrible.
That was a world tour of accents.
Dear Lord. All right, so we're going to go to our first whiskey, and we're going to have Brent.
Mind telling me what this is all about, mister?
Yeah, tell us what it's all about, mister.
Well, I will tell you. Thanks, Bob. This first one is the Cooper Single Malt Scotch Whiskey, 46% ABV, 92 proof.
Oh, yeah!
Non-chilled filtered and no color added. The Cooper is made from 100% malted barley distilled in the highlands of Scotland. It is initially matured for 10 years in American oak ex-bourbon barrels. Much of the flavor of a whiskey comes from the cask, meaning the knowledge and skill of the Cooper is one of the most important components of creating a superb whiskey. Master Cooper John Niley then chose to handcraft old-style octave casks from French limousine oak, which has then been seasoned by Exo Cognac. I prefer to say cognac, yes. I know it says cognac, but, you know.
Okay.
The Exo Cognac.
It's spelled cognac, man, just like champagne.
Just like champagne.
Philip Mignon.
The Exo Cognac casks arrive from France as puncheons with a capacity of 450 liters and are broken down. The staves sawn, steamed, and reworked into octave casks. An octave is 1/8 the size of a standard butt cask, hence the name octave, and holds around 63 liters of whiskey. The wood is toasted, not charred, which reduces the sweetness impact and allows more subtle flavors to reveal themselves. It's a lot of work to, I mean, they did a lot of work to this.
Well, I mean, their focus is on the cooperage. I mean, they're named after the cooper. You know, one of the main people in their company is a master cooper. So, I mean, they're focusing on cooperage,
yeah.
which is great because, I mean, let's be honest, 75% of what you're tasting is coming out of that cask,
right,
you know, even
right.
if it's been used once. So,
right. So this has got a very light color to it.
It's golden.
Yeah, golden. You know, it's things
pale yellow,
pale white yellow, raisin. Pale yellow. There's no brown to it. I can tell you that. The nose.
Brown, you drink it down.
There you
brown,
go.
Drink I knew it
was coming.
That's on the nose. There's a little bit. I get floral notes, and I get cherries out of it. Just both of them kind of like pop to me.
Yeah, definitely cherries.
On the palate, I get some dried fruit. I get cherries, nuts, and leather. It is the best way I can describe this, and it's all very subtle.
You can smell those from here. I should have worn something under this.
Should have worn something under this kilt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me cross my legs.
I got more apricot than cherry on this one.
It's a little of a each. I really think it depends on when you take.
Yeah,
the
a little bit of a little bit of yeah peach or I mean it's apricot. It's there's fruits there. It's yeah, just hard definitely. To determine
it's
all
nice.
The fruits.
Dried fruit, not leather. I agree with you completely. Yeah. It's just
and it's got
nice.
A nice, a very nice mouthfeel to it. And I can see where the breaking down these casks have kind of really paid off for this. It's got a pleasant mouthfeel. Everything works to it. And I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's very pleasant. It's not at one extreme or another. It's middle of the road. It's beautiful. It's nice. I hesitate to call it entry level, but I would just call it, a very nice scotch that you can enjoy at almost any time.
No, I don't think it's a disservice to call it entry level. This is a great scotch to introduce someone who's not really had scotch before.
Yes,
because it's not going to be over. It's
balanced.
Not medicinal, smoky style. It's not the super sweet space side. This has got you taste the barrel character, and you.
Yeah,
and
if you want to, if you want to introduce
overwhelmed
something
by any like you know,
yeah,
flavors.
If somebody was like, "Well, let's have a scotch," and if you gave them this, they're not going to be like, "Oh my god, that's
I can't drink this."
I right. can't. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Where I've had that with scotch.
It's beautifully made, and it's easy drinking for almost anybody, even a novice scotch drinker, as Harm pointed out.
What you guys didn't mention here is I got butterscotch. Was the first thing I smelled on this. I can't put it up to my nose. It was butterscotch, then the flowers, then the fruit.
On the exhale, I got potpourri.
Potpourri.
On the way in,
you should
heavy
stop
malt.
Eating it, dummy. I mean, it's decorative. My wife is going to kill you. You the rest of that bowl. That's like $12 worth of that stuff at beer one.
Back off the list again.
I guess that would go with the flowers.
Yeah. No, it's got a beautiful nose. Sweet. You can definitely tell the cognac influence on it.
I got almond and hazelnut as the nuts on these.
It's mm-hmm. not very sweet and syrupy that you get with mm-hmm. a lot of cognac, though.
It's
like dry.
No, the sweetness is more in the nose. To me.
See, they right. said they mentioned they steamed they shipped over the Limousin Oak XO cognac barrels, but then they take them apart and they steam them. Yeah. So you're going to lose some of that cognac flavor.
Yeah, lose yeah.
But
it's, a lot.
I mean, yeah. but I still get the apricot. Yeah. I feel like yeah. that's coming from the cognac.
They've got to saw them okay. down and steam them and make the barrels. And I mean, it's 63 liters. That's a little more than a quarter of a standard U.S. barrel. You know, I mean, it's probably about a quarter cask, you know, when you do a regular Scotch barrel, I would think.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking gallons. So, yeah, yeah you're right.
So it metric, yay! You know, but yeah, I think what they're doing is working well. I think yeah. I think they're you know for the price point that it is and for the Scotch it is. I think they're knocking it out of the park. I think it's you know,
For the mini barrels to not over oak it is an achievement.
Very much so. A lot of times when you have the smaller barrels that, you know, but I think because these are also used barrels.
Right.
They're, you know,
they were used for cognac. You'd think there'd be more cognac flavor, but because of 10 years in these barrels. But I guess steaming them really.
No, it wasn't 10 years in these barrels.
It's not 10 years. It's finished.
In bourbon barrels.
Oh. Yeah.
And then it was
and
only
then finished
like,
in this.
I missed
finished.
That part. For okay, this. Okay.
He wasn't listening to you, Brent.
I tune him out.
Man. He never listens to me.
I tune you
Shut
out.
Shut up. Suppress your defecation.
Yeah. That's what I say. Yeah. It's
we just, really don't know how long it spends in these reworked barrels. We know it's 10 years in American oak.
Yeah.
Well, they spent enough time to make it nice.
Yeah.
You know, to make it.
But it could have been a very short.
Right,
stay.
Right, right. The when you
Six
have
weeks, 3 months, could have been, you know, we don't know.
Right. And that's, I think that's one of the qualities is not overdoing it and not underdoing it. And I think they really.
I think you have to especially watch that when you have a smaller barrel because it
exactly.
goes much faster.
Yeah.
You got to watch it day by day, week by week.
They've hit the point on this one.
Yeah, you can't just put it in there and forget and go check it in 6 months. So we're going to be rating the Cooper 3 sips.
Interesting.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished reviewing the Cooper Single Malt Scotch Whiskey. We gave that a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
Really, really interesting whiskey. If you find one of those, definitely pick that one up. So we're going to be going and moving on to our next one, and we're going to have Maury tell us about that.
Thank you, Bob. The Benriach Distillery was established by John Duff in 1898 during the peak of the whiskey boom of the late 19th century. Built adjacent to the Longmorn Distillery, which was also owned by John Duff, the two distilleries were connected by a private railway complete with their own steam locomotive, which was used to transport grain, coal, barley, peat, and barrels between the distilleries.
Oh my God, can you imagine having your own little steam engine?
Yeah. Lord, unfortunately, a year later, in 1899, the collapse of the Paterson Whiskey Empire led to the subsequent collapse of the whiskey boom in the UK. As a result, the Benriach Distillery was closed the following year and remained closed until 1965. Only the malting house at Benriach remained open during that time, supplying malt to the Longmorn Distillery.
I do love some good Longmorn.
Yep.
Yeah. It was purchased by Glenlivet Distillers Limited and refurbished and reopened in 1965. The Glenlivet Distillers was subsequently purchased by Seagram Shivas Brothers in 1978. With the breakup of the Seagram's empire, the Benriach was acquired by Pernod Ricard as part of a purchase of Shivas Brothers in 2001. The distillery was subsequently closed in 2003. In 2004, Billy Walker, the former production director of Bern Stewart, along with two South African investors, purchased the distillery and established the Benriach Distilling Company. With the success of Benriach, the company subsequently purchased the Glendronach Distillery in 2008.
Oh, another favorite.
And the Glengassaw Distillery in 2013. In 2016, the company was purchased by Brown-Forman.
That's how you know you're doing something well, when Brown-Forman says, "We're taking you."
Yeah,
right.
And they got all three in the deal, which was nice. Right. The Benriach has 8 30,000-liter stainless steel washbacks, feeding their 2 wash stills and 2 spirit stills. The stills being traditional onion-shaped copper pot stills without a boiling reflux bubble. Water comes from the nearby Burnside Spring. Fermentation time is between 48 and 50 hours. Barrels are aged in one of 5 on-site dunnage warehouses with the traditional low roof, stone walls, and earthen floors. Since the acquisition by Brown-Forman, the Benriach has been under the watchful eye of master blender Dr. Rachel Barry.
Yahoo.
Yes.
Dr. Barry began her career under the tutelage of the legendary Jim Swan before moving on to positions at Glenmorangie, Ardbeg, and Bowmore. She was hired in 2017 by Brown-Forman as the master blender and head of whiskey creation at the Glendronach, Benriach, and Glengassaw Distillery.
I love everything she touches. She's so good at this
stuff. Yeah, she is an absolute wizard. You can tell she studied under Jim Swan, because Jim Swan was, as far as I can tell, an absolute wizard.
Jim Swan also, she's deviated a little bit from him, because Swan always, when he was doing his consulting, always said that you always have to use wet barrels. Hmm. Now, I think Rachel does mostly use wet barrels, but I think they also do use a Cooper's.
And Jim's the one who set up places like Cavalon and everything. So, I mean, she learned from the best.
Kilhoman.
And she's pretty much the heir to that at this point. Everything she touches.
Jim Swan also helped in Goa. Didn't he do that John Paul as well?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Mm. So what's a steel washback?
That's not, instead of a wooden one, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, like the where you store the beer?
Yeah.
Okay. So, our first expression, the Benriach, the original 10, is a 10-year-old, 43% ABV, clocking in at 86 proof with no added coloring. This expression is 3 cask matured for at least 10 years in bourbon barrels, Oloroso sherry casks, and virgin oak. And considering that it's had these 3 varied barrels, it's got an extremely light color. Again, I would call it a pale yellow. Clearly, it's had no added color, but really hasn't picked up a lot of color from the wood. It's got a beautiful, refreshing nose. You definitely get some apples, pears, peach, toasted oak, vanilla, cinnamon. It's got a beautiful feel on the palate. It's light. It sort of dances on your palate. You get some fruit such as pear and nectarine, a little sweetness from the malt, and then a finish of some almond, vanilla, and a medium to long finish. I think it's a beautiful whiskey. I think it's very well made. Again, it's a beautiful whiskey. Right? Yeah. What'd you think?
This one is very fruity. It's light and fruity, and it's just very pleasant on the
finesse.
Palate.
Yeah, pleasant, you know? And finesse.
Yeah, exactly. I would think of this one. You don't want to classify something as male, female, and the whiskey and something, but it's got that kind of like a wine finish to it, where you'd think that somebody would that's more into wine would just kind of really like this one and fall into this one. You know, like a fruity wine, not a dry wine, like a fruity wine.
Yeah. I agree. I think that's well said. I think it definitely has this finesse and a little feminine character to it. It's light. It's easy drinking. Definitely out by the pool on a sunny afternoon.
When I first tasted it, I got a little bit of smoke on it, and I added some water to it, and the smoke just dissipated. It just went away.
I didn't get any smoke on it, but then you're really sensitive to the smoke. But the thing is, what I think, they don't tell us how they treated those virgin casks. They probably weren't charred. They were maybe just toasted. Or if they were charred like number one char, you know, this is because the color is so light, it couldn't be too long in that virgin oak.
But even the Oloroso sherry cask didn't add a whole lot of color.
No, well, you don't have to use, these may not be first use casks, it could be second use.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
And but the, she's actually, I think, here showcasing the spirit rather than the oak, rather as a counterpoint to the Cooper's craft. Cooper's. I made that mistake actually because I think Cooper's is also owned by Brown-Forman.
Yeah.
So Cooper's Craft and Cooper's, you got the bourbon and you got the Scotch, and they're again showcasing the Cooper's art with how they make the barrels. But here with the Benriach 10, I think it's more about the spirit than the barrel.
No question. The oak fades to the background, much like some of the unoaked Chardonnays versus one that's got a lot of oak on it. I think you see a nice contrast
between the fruit is beautiful. Two. It's delicate. And I like this toasted, this nuttiness coming out. A little bit of nuttiness. I like it.
I mean, it's like a fruit cocktail on your nose. I mean,
Justin,
it's just,
what did you think?
Fantastic.
Do we have any more?
So I'm wondering why they went for such a short amount of time for the fermentation, and did that make the character of the yeast less prominent and make it so light? I liked it. After water, the fruit got much more dominant, like white raisins. Without the water, it was just too much oak.
I didn't actually put any water in this one. You guys beat me to it.
I found the water didn't really add to it. I thought it just kind of washed it out a little bit. Just, so I had sort of a contrasting opinion. Sorry.
No. Oh, nothing.
I just added some. It brought up more peach for me on the nose. But
If we all agreed, how boring really add, would it be?
Doesn't add much. It doesn't need the water.
Yeah, I didn't. Nice entry level. Somebody, if you were going to introduce somebody to Scotch, this is another beautiful one to say, here, try this one. You know, this is a. And they're going to be like, wow, that's really nice.
Ain't no corn squeezing in here. Ain't no corn squeezings. What's going on?
That's the saddest accent I've ever heard.
Justin earlier, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's saying something, too, isn't it? So, dear Lord. Well, we're going to be rating the Benriach Original 10, a solid 3 sips.
Interesting.
So let's move on to our next offering from Benriach, and we're going to have Justin tell us all about that one.
So our next product is Benriach the 12. It's 46% alcohol by volume, or 92 proof. And like all the other expressions, no added coloring to this one either.
What's the square root of 92?
I have no idea. I went to law school, not med school.
Just checking.
To make Benriach 12, Benriach Spirit is 3 cask matured for at least 12 years in PX sherry casks, bourbon barrels, and ruby port casks. The whiskey from each cask is then expertly married together to create this expression. So on the nose, I got honey and big vanilla notes with some cocoa at the end. As I tasted it, I got the maraschino cherry, again, bigger after water, a little bit of hazelnut, and mocha. And I think this is a pretty well-balanced spirit. What do you think, Maury?
Well, I had high expectations for this. You read the description. You read what they've done. I love PX sherry finishes, bourbon finish, port finish. All of those should be fantastic. To me, although a great whiskey and certainly nothing to pour out or get unhappy with, I just felt it was left me a little flat after the 10. I think it's nice. I agree with all the notes that you mentioned.
Well, it's not 100% PX though.
No,
of course. So it may be out of 100 casks, it might be 2, you know?
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't know.
I thought it was nice. It just lacked the complexity. It just wasn't quite as interesting as the 10. And I'm sure there's a step up in price, but I just didn't really feel like it added much over the 10. And so a nice whiskey, but just fell short on my expectations from the description.
Yeah, again, this one, while short of expectations, it's still one of that you can give to anybody, and they're going to just enjoy it. As You know, they're going to be
absolutely.
Like, you know, and, you know, so while you don't want to compare one to another, you know, you can give this one and it's just a little bit different to
it. It's an entirely different scotch. I mean, it's entirely different.
Right.
I mean, it's not just, it has nothing to do with the 2 years.
I don't think it's entirely different. You can taste it. Well, there's a little,
but you know what I'm saying.
Commonality. Right. Yeah,
it's a very different scotch.
Right. But you're going to be able to give it to somebody and they're going to be like, wow, this is, you know, this is scotch. I like this scotch, you know.
It's got a lot more backbone to it than the 10. You know, it's not
as fruity as the 10.
It's not as fruity, but it's got more backbone, a little more oomph to it, a little bit of body.
It's got going back to smell the 10.
It's got the
and it's got a much more beautiful floral note than the 12.
Agree with you. I agree with you. And remember, the 12 is going to probably cost a bit more.
Yeah.
And I just didn't feel that for the added cost.
See, it depends on your personal profile. The 10 is flowery. The 12 is more richer.
Yeah.
A little more cocoa.
It's got you right there.
I find it to be as rich as I would
have. It's got a little bit more of a little bit more oily on the palate. Yeah. You know,
I would wear either one as cologne. I don't care.
Yeah.
It'd work on my wife. She likes the stuff.
Either one would be an improvement over your normal cologne.
Yeah. A normal scent.
Yeah. It's called Eau de Swarthy. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. So. Gee, I'm so sorry that you guys have to drink this fantastic scotch. I mean, so, no, different scotch, differently finished, different casks. One has definitely got much more of a nose and a much lighter palate. One has got a little bit less of a nose, but, you know, a much heavier palate.
Right.
But, you know, both equally good. So we're going to be rating the Bain-Mariach 12. Solid 3 sips. So we're going to move on to the next one. We're going to have Harm tell us about that one.
Our next product is the Bain-Mariach 21, 46% ABV, 92 proof, no color added. And before you ask, Maury, I have it pulled up. The square root of 92 is 9.591663.
Thank you. My other question was, Harm, where's your dump bucket?
Oh, I'm not dumping today, man. This is scotch. We're drinking. So, the exquisite single malt has been crafted from a combination of unpeated and peated spirit and 4 cask matured for at least 21 years in bourbon barrels, PX sherry casks, virgin oak casks, and Bordeaux red wine casks. During the long maturation, Bain-Mariach's sweet Speyside smoke mellows and integrates with the fruit and the malt and the oak. After 21 years, you've got rich layers of flavor. Now I'm reading something from their PR page. So I'll just skip all that and just move on to our tasting notes. So the color is a deeper gold, a little bit of copper coming in there.
Yes, nice.
Nose is berries. It's beautiful, like raspberry and blackberry and cherry. And then I get some honey and apples, definitely apples. And I've got a thing like almost like marzipan, a little candied almond coming on. And on the palate, it's grapey. And I don't know if that's coming from the PX cask or the wine cask.
You know, you're right. I didn't get that at first, but now that you mention it,
it's grapey.
That grape.
Yeah. And it's got some rich coconut notes, and pears really popped out when I first drank it, but now that it's mellowed. Or it's had some time for air. The pears are coming down, and more of the smoke has come back up.
And now, there's another nut in here. You really got to search for the smoke in this whiskey. Yeah. And I thought that was a sign of it being very well integrated.
Yeah.
And just
they didn't give us proportions on how much peated whiskey was here and how much unpeated.
No, but it's extremely subtle. It's definitely not a peat bomb.
But this is the first time I've added water just now. More smoke comes out with just a drop.
You definitely get more smoke when you add the water. It definitely pops a little bit.
And I like this better with the drop of water. It makes the smoke pop. It's a really great complement to the fruit.
Right.
The nuttiness is there. Can I have more?
Unfortunately, we only got little ones.
Oh, damn. I need... Send us bigger samples, guys. I mean, I like your stuff. Now, Bob's doing some smoke there. I'm water there. Justin, what do you think? Did you try it with water or no?
Yes, I did try it with water. It definitely brought out the fruit more. I got the Bordeaux wine only on the finish. And they didn't overwine it, which was good.
No, you can tell that's just from the color. There's not too much wine in this.
Yeah. And it's pretty well balanced. this wouldn't be a beginner whiskey, but like maybe someone that's been drinking whiskey for a couple of years probably enjoy it, or someone that's Friday. So
yeah, but a beginner whiskey, I mean, this is another one you can give this to anybody, you know, that's a bourbon drinker or whatever, and you give this to them and they're going to be like, wow, this is a nice little treat, because it's got some of those same notes, you know, and stuff that the bourbon drinkers love.
Yeah.
And it's not doesn't have the notes that some of the some people off.
It's the Speyside peat is very different from the Islay peat, which is what challenge for some people.
Right.
Island peat or the Islay peats tend to be more medicinal. This is just like a wood smoke.
Yeah, and that's the same thing. You know, when you're the further north you go, it's different vegetation that makes the peat. So that's, you get the whole different thing, and you get the same thing with whiskeys all over the world that are peated. There's guys doing peat out in Washington State. They're doing peat in Japan where they're using Japanese peat, and it always gives you, you know,
the Washington State peat is interesting.
Yeah,
but again, we're talking about the peat like this was the thing, but it's
very light smoke. Very light.
I don't
get
it until I do the exhale at all, and even then, I have to sort of search for it.
Exactly, so. This is a very mild. That's
a contrast for the whiskeys we have coming up.
Yeah, but it's. Absolutely. The wine comes in with the water. I get more of the wine character. Just candied grapes. I mean, it's just absolutely lovely. But there's like a dark, like a smoky toffee.
Yeah. You know, I didn't mention earlier, now that I'm getting more of it now that it's sitting, is a little cinnamon spice coming out.
Yeah. This one has more layers of flavor than our previous two. I mean, this
elegant,
one
well made.
Is definitely
the longer it sits in the glass, the more complex it gets.
Right. It's definitely a step up from our previous ones that we've just been drinking for sure.
Oh yeah.
This every is time you go to the glass, you can pick up a new, you know, a new flavor that comes out and pops at you.
Yeah, I get the cinnamon and I get the baking spice along the sides of the tongue. After the swallow, that definitely comes in, but it was good until we put a couple of drops of water in it. With a couple of drops of water, it got even better. Just smoky toffee.
I hate the grapiness. Fact that they sent us such small samples. What's going on, man? What's going on?
Absolutely.
I need more of this one.
You know, I'd like to revisit it with more water. I didn't get a chance to put water in. I thought it was wonderful.
You drank it all without it, yeah?
Well, we're rating it 4 sips.
That's classified.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished talking about the absolutely fantastic Benriach 21. 4 sips.
That's classified.
Honestly, I'm leaning a little bit higher, but that's the group.
I could almost be convinced to go higher too.
Yeah, it just gets better and better the longer it sits in the glass. So if the folks at Benriach are listening, we sure could use some more. So we're going to be moving on.
Maury didn't get a taste it with water. We need more.
That's right.
Well, he's a lush and he sucked it down. What do you want from me? So we're going to move on to our next one. And our next product is the Benriach Smoky 10, 46% ABV, 92 proof. Again, like all of the Benriachs, no added coloring, which I love. E150A is an anathema to all that is holy in God himself. In the early 70s, Benriach broke convention in Speyside by returning to distilling batches of whiskey in the old 19th century style using malted barley smoked with Highland peat. Not Highland peat. Highland peat. This wood-rich Highland peat imparts a sweet and smoky note into the Benriach peated whiskies. The Benriach Smoky 10 has been crafted from a combination of unpeated and peated spirit, and three cask matured for at least 10 years in a combination of first and second fill bourbon barrels, Jamaican rum casks, so you already got me there, and toasted virgin oak. So
they made a point of telling us first and second fill here. So yeah. I'm thinking this is probably more first fill than the others.
Yeah.
And the Jamaican rum and toasted virgin oak, yeah.
I mean, it's...
You already know you're getting something special.
It's got a lovely color, just a beautiful straw gold on it. But on the nose, just a beautiful wisp of smoke on it, just campfire smoke, honey, nice fresh clean oak, and I'm guessing that's coming from the toasted virgin oak cask that they use.
I'm getting a little bit of pineapple on this, just a hint. Apples and pineapple.
Yeah, right in the tip. Just right in the tip of the nose, just sort of like a roasted smoky pineapple. And on the palate, let's see. Oh my gosh. Maple syrup. Beautiful stewed fruit. There's just an underlayment of smoke, just not overpowering whatsoever, just perfectly balanced. Absolutely lovely. It's more of a wood smoke than it is, you know, what a lot of people think is a peat smoke. Fantastic. What do you think, Brent? I know you love smoke.
Oh, you know I love smoke. You know, but you know when you talk about smoke on this one, you're not getting that smoke like from from that wet peaty smoke. You're getting like a hardwood smoke, like an apple wood or a cherry wood or something like that. You're getting something like that.
Makes me hungry for barbecue.
Exactly. But the thing is that what this really reminded me of, and it really popped to me, was that when I tasted this, it tasted like I was eating some fresh fruit. It really came out like a fresh fruit that was cold smoked. You know, so they had a little bit of smoke on it, you know, covering it. But the fruit was what really popped to me. So the smoke was kind of like secondary because the fruit came through so well on this that, you know, the smoke, while it was there, it was just like, it was just an enhancement to it that really made it, you improve it.
I agree with you, but I find that the smoke is built up as it sits in the glass. When we first poured it, it was more fruity.
Yeah, because the fruit, I mean,
it did pop a lot more.
Right. It's like a fresh fruit, which I wasn't expecting. You know, I was expecting, okay, I read Smoky 10, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, here we go again. And it's not like that at all. So when so I don't want somebody to be turned off when they say, oh, I see Smoky 10, and I'm going to be, you know, I've had this smoky scotch before, and that's not like this at all.
Maury, what do you think?
I don't know. I beg to differ a little bit. I think that the smoke has, for me, was not in the background, was more in the foreground. It's not overpowering. It's not overwhelming. But I think if you're not a smoky whiskey drinker, then I'm not sure.
This may not be the first,
may not be the first thing you want to go for.
I actually kind of agree with you, Maury. The smoke wasn't so much in the background. But when we first poured it, exactly as Brent said, the fruit popped. But the longer it sits in the glass, the smoke is coming out more. And I think it's well integrated. I love smoky whiskey. The stuff I like just might kill Brent. But it's I'd like that Isla peat, and this is a very different peat completely.
No, it's definitely not Isla medicinal iodine-y Band-Aid-y peat at all.
No, so this is not, but there's it's almost a hint of Band-Aid, a little drop of water. Almost a hint. Depends where you. I'm coming from the side. Approach the glass from the side, and then right here I can get the Band-Aid. I go all the way in, the Band-Aid's gone.
Yeah,
it's like I've got my nose a little bit away from the glass. I'm getting a little Band-Aid. Put my nose in the glass. It's all wood smoke.
The smoke has definitely built. From when we first opened it. It was definitely much more subdued when we first opened it. But it's still, it's not overpowering. It's still well balanced.
It's still enhancing the fruit flavor.
The star is the fruit.
Right. It's enhancing it versus take it away and overpower it to me.
I never thought I'd hear Brent say that.
I know. I'm just shocked with who that's coming from.
I'm writing that down.
Well, we're going to be rating the Benriach Smoky 10 four sips.
Yep.
That's classified.
So let's move on to our next one from Benriach. We're going to have Harm tell us about that one.
Okay, Benriach Smoky 12, 46% ABV, 92 proof. Square root of that is 9.6 something, whatever, I forgot already. no color added. Crafted from a combination of unpeated and peated spirit. These are three casks matured for at least 12 years, bourbon barrels, sherry casks, and Marsala wine casks. That's a little bit different. The color's got a little more red note to it, like a reddish gold, not quite red gold, or a rose gold, but it's there. On the nose, it's less fruit and more vanilla. Mm-hmm. Vanilla, a little nuttiness, and there's the smoke. To me, it's less than the 10. This is more
very much less, yeah. Much less,
very much less.
I got it more initially, and it really faded off.
Yeah, this is a lot less to me. On the palate, it starts out with chocolate for me, and it goes to oranges. Mm. Like a chocolate covered orange, but not enough orange. It's like more chocolate than orange. And just a hint of oak, and it's just a beautiful light smoke. And I didn't put any water in this, and I'm just really enjoying it.
It reminds me of those chocolate oranges you get at Christmas time.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it improved in the glass. I really felt that it was not as balanced when we first opened it. Mm. And now that it's sat for a good 45 minutes, it's much more integrated and balanced.
Well, when we first opened, I thought the 10 was significantly better. And now I think this is caught up to the 10.
I would agree with you. It's catching up or caught up.
I could, like we were talking about chocolate oranges. This doesn't have, like, this is not like that Godiva candied orange peel you got.
No.
I could use more fruit, but the chocolate flavor really is there, and the smoke is so well integrated. And like exactly as Bob said, I thought I'd like the 10 better, but now I think with time.
Yeah. With time, this is absolutely caught up and it's definitely its equal. It's like he said, it's a different animal, and the fact that the other one is like a fruit cocktail, this one is, when you get it, it's vanilla bomb. Mm. And they hit it on the head in their tasting notes. They put down charred orange, and absolutely.
I didn't see that. But the smoke is much more finesse.
Not smoke, but like a caramelized orange peel, like a slightly charred caramelized orange peel. I get that on the nose, and I get the almond.
I didn't get that until I added water. And the almond I got, too, mm-hmm. but it was very... It was very, I saw their tasting note, but I didn't mention it because I didn't get that at all until I added the water.
And there's the citrus and dark chocolate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely lovely, and it's done nothing but get better since we opened it.
Yeah, since it sat in the glass.
And you could definitely introduce a non-smoky whiskey drinker to smoke with this because, again, the smoke is very subtle and much more in the background than the 10 was.
But you know what I do get on a smoke? I get just a tinge more of the medicinal than the 10.
I found the 10 was more medicinal to me.
That's why we have a bunch of people on the show, because everybody's palate's different. That's the amazing thing. Everybody's receptors pick up the chemical compounds differently.
Or it could be you're just wrong, Bob.
No,
have you ever thought about that, Bob? You could be just wrong.
I think he's actually right.
I've never been wrong. No.
There's definitely
I thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken. Well, we're going to be rating the Benriach Smoky 12, a well-deserved 4 sips.
Classified.
So let's move on to our last whiskey of the day. We're going to have Brent tell us about that.
Thanks, Bob. Our last whiskey is Highland Park Cask Strength Release Number 1, 63.3% ABV, 126.6 proof, non-chill filtered, and no color added. So Highland Park was founded in Orkney in 1798 by Magnus Unson.
Square root, by the way, is 11.25.
Yeah, a church official and a successful whiskey smuggler. He was also known to be quite a character as well. Hearing that the church was to be searched for whiskey by a new party of excisemen. Yeah, those people too.
We call them revenuers here.
They were coming after his whiskey. Unson had all the kegs removed to his house, placed in the middle of an empty room and covered with a coffin lid and a clean white cloth. As the officers approached after their unsuccessful search of this church, Unson gathered all of his people, including the maidservants, round the whiskey with his covering of white. Unson knelt at the head with his Bible in hand and the others with their psalm books, and as the door opened, they set up a wail for the dead. and Unsa made a sign to the officers that it was a death, and one of the attendants whispered, smallpox.
don't give me attitude, sir.
Immediately, the officers and his men made off as fast as they could and left the smuggler for some time in peace. Somewhat ironic, as the distillery was later purchased in 1813 by a group that included Unson's arresting officer, John Robertson, and his fellow excise men, yeah. Robert Pringle. In 1898, the distillery was purchased by James Grant, son of a former manager of the Glenlivet. It was subsequently sold in 1935 to the Highland Distillers, who are owned by the Edrington Group, the current owners of the distillery. So this first cask is offering in the Highland Park line is a new Highland Park cask strength release number one. It is matured predominantly in sherry seasoned American oak casks of different ages, hand selected by their master whiskey maker, Gordon Motion. It is then bottled without chill filtering to ensure the essential DNA and natural color of the whiskey stays intact.
It's not so much the DNA as the fatty acids and oils.
Well,
but whatever, we can say DNA.
All those little particles at the bottom that you see if you put it up to a light.
I think the DNA is a metaphor for the backbone.
I don't like metaphors. We're drinking whiskey. I want concrete.
So yeah,
that's awesome. Whatever.
So this one's a little bit darker than all the rest of the ones we've had today. It's and it's got a nice little golden copper color.
A lot of copper.
Yeah. On the nose, I get vanilla and honey right off the bat. Get a little bit of sherry notes. I get some leather on there. It's just a beautiful nose to it. I don't even know if I want to drink it after.
I just want to smell it.
I just like it's like
you know what I want? I want this to be available in Florida, guys. Where is it?
On the palate.
It's like right in front of you.
They sent us a big bottle.
It's available.
I'm very happy. It's available here in the studio.
This is toffee. This is got toffee. You got honey. You got some citrus on there. You got a little bit of smoke to it. It just enhances it though. It's like whoa, what's happening here? And the beautiful finish to this. Great mouthfeel.
Oh, we may make a Scotch drink out of Brent yet. Would you buy this?
Would I buy this?
You want to make drink? You want him to drink Scotch?
Take this man to the cooler.
Nah, I'm done with you.
Would I buy this? You know, I still love my bourbon. You know,
I know you still love.
You know,
your
I mean,
bourbon.
I still love my bourbon, and
good,
and there's
lush.
And there's a lot. I would have this over a lot of bourbons, though.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of bourbons that I like a lot less than this.
I'll believe it when I see you open a bottle.
When
scotch.
I open a bottle of scotch,
yeah. When I see him walk out of the store with it in his bag, yeah.
When I have a bottle of scotch in my house that I open, then you'll believe it.
When you open your wallet, I'll see the moths fly
but
out.
It's, I mean, this is just. I mean, I love everything Highland Park makes. I really do. But this is so good.
This is lovely.
It should have happened so long ago. I've been lucky in getting to taste a lot of Highland Park casks at Cask Strength with the folks at the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society over the years. So it's I know what it tastes like when it comes out of Cask Strength. And oh my gosh, this is fantastic.
Yeah, before this, the only way to get a Highland Park at a cask strength, I think, was through a private bottler.
Yeah, it's the only way.
But this, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Everything is amped up.
Yeah.
You know, because this is cask strength.
Oh, it's got such a good mouthfeel.
The fruit is amped. The smoke is amped.
But it's not
hot. The flavor is amped. No, but it's not
hot at all.
No. Everything is amped up and just like, and you know, in your mouth, it just bursts in your mouth. It just comes alive.
There's no age statement.
I should have warned you. Just saying. just toffee, heather. Oh, just some citrus. Just that just faint smoke. I mean, it's.
You were talking about charred orange peel earlier on the other one.
Yeah.
The orange is much more amped up here.
Oh, yeah.
The smoke is
the citrus
there.
On this is off the chart. Old leather. And it's just, I mean, everything that you want at Highland Park.
The honey just knocks me out on the nose.
It's everything you want in Highland Park up to 11.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The cask strength amps it up. It does for sure.
But with no distortion.
Yeah. And this is batch one, which would lend us to believe that there's going to be more than one batch. Ooh. So Hopefully, whenever they come out with batch two, we'll be able to, you know, try them side by side.
Yes.
But, you know, what an absolutely fantastic whiskey.
Give me more.
And we're going to be rating the Highland Park Cask Strength Release Number 1, an extremely well-deserved 5 sips. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you enjoyed this episode. You can catch all of our episodes where you found this one, as well as on terrestrial and satellite radio, and online at iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, CBS Radio, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, PRX, and pretty much any place you can listen to a podcast. The easiest way to find the show on your phone is to ask Alexa, Siri, Google, or whoever the lady is that talks back to you to play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback. You can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com, and our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands of other fans on these social media platforms. You can also check us out at @sipsudsandsmokes on Instagram or at @MadeManBob. Do us a favor and take time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. It's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. You can also check out Brent Moore and myself on Facebook at The Bourbon Mafia. The Bourbon Mafia is a nonprofit organization composed of bourbon enthusiasts and industry professionals with representation in 8 states and 2 countries. Our members combine a love of bourbon with a passion for charitable root, using their love of our native spirit to raise money for local and national charities. Want to thank everybody for joining us today. Thank you, Brent.
You know, it actually was a pleasure drinking.
Told you it'd be a good day.
Single malt scotch today.
Yeah. Thank you, Maury. You know?
Thank you, Bob. I'm sad that I had to sit next to Brent again with no pants. I really thought for once he might show up with some clothes on.
Thank you, Justin.
But you can smell the nuts.
But the heather overpowered the nuts.
Thank you, Bob. This definitely gives support to the theory of it's not Scottish, it's crap.
Well, just, you know, wear something under the kilt and you won't have that problem. And thank you, Harm.
Thank you. And this time I mean it, Bob. Thank you.
I don't believe him. This is Madman Bob, and thank you for joining us. Remember, life's too short to drink bad whiskey.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.